from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Steelers break the huddle. Warren in the backfield, Fields in the gun on 3rd down and 4 from the Pittsburgh 21-yard line. Motion and 3 wide receivers, actually 3 receivers, one of them Freiermuth, the tight end, to the left side. Fields gets the snap. Fields in trouble. And Fields goes down as Danielle Hunter has the sack.
All right, take your helmet, have a seat. We'll see you September 8th.
Yep.
That's how I feel about it.
That's how I looked at it, too.
And Danielle Hunter would absolutely fit that mold. Veteran guy, new squad, finally got some rep. He doesn't need anything else.
Yeah, he's been here before.
He doesn't need anything else.
Y'all don't want to watch him? Just one.
Come on, man.
One snap with Will Anderson Jr.?
If y'all being honest, I just want to skip past all. I would do all those simulation to this preseason and just get right to week one. Like, I don't, like when I see stuff like that, good things like this, I be just want to fast forward to week one.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Like
they do, too.
Yeah.
They do, too.
Man.
That's why I think, like, keep an eye out for this. I think they might kind of shut it down and get into regular season mode after this weekend. They know what they're going to. Look, Nick Caserio probably has a whiteboard in his office with the depth chart as he sees it today already filled out. Now, that's something that it's in that washable, you know, marker, so you can change it. But I bet you DeMeco goes in there every day, maybe more than once a day, and says, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And they have a discussion about that. They know their depth chart. They have a depth chart today, and it ain't the same one that they release.
Yeah.
So they know what it's going to look like.
Yeah, and, too, I think just being at practice yesterday, I think it was very important to see all of these key players that we haven't seen all – training camp out there yesterday. So you seen Joe Mixon for the first time practicing yesterday. Laramie Tunsil was dressed and he was out there. Christian Harris, he was out there for a second.
Well,
but,
we're gonna get to that.
Yeah, but I think yesterday was key because I think that was the ramp up. I think he's like, all right, now let's ramp up. Yeah. So now these players we've been looking for were actually out there.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important.
No, and I think the offense is going to play again. I wouldn't want them to, but I think they are. Maybe this Saturday at noon, by the way. If you're used to those evening Texans preseason games, they ain't going to have one. This one's at noon, and next weekend's at noon. Yeah, I think the offense is going to do it. I think the defense, Danielle Hunter, don't worry about it. Maybe even DeNico Autry, don't worry about it, although he may want to get some reps because he's going to be suspended for 6 games. Al-Shaair, maybe a little bit. Don't worry about it. So that leads to the question that we're talking about here. I mean, this defense showed some pretty positive stuff. It brought the pressure. You also had a sack from Jerry Hughes.
Yeah.
And Neville Hewitt. It showed some good stuff. Obviously, Derek Stingley was out there. It also missed some tackles and gave up some big opportunities. Let's talk about the missed tackles first and some of those opportunities. This was DeMeco talking about that.
I'll have to look at a tape to see the missed tackles and see, you know, where we can get better. Whenever you're missing tackles, it's all about how you miss them. So I have to really look at it. If we're running to the football, right, and we got other guys showing up, like we're not expecting one guy to make every tackle. So I just have to see how our effort was from the backside.
Yeah, man, I think I might be a little biased and maybe looking through Texans goggles here. But the first thing when I heard this and seen this, I'm like, well, it's preseason. Mm-hmm. You know, they ain't the real star that's out there.
Yeah, but that's been something that they've had.
Yeah. I think they struggled with that last season with, you know, missed tackles and stuff like that. So I think it's something to be a little concerned about, but I'm not going to trip about it just yet.
I'm not going to trip about it, but I'm a little more concerned about the missed tackles than anything else I saw, because we've seen that. Like, that's been kind of a common thread going back since before D'Amico, even.
Yeah.
With Jalen Petrie his rookie year and all that stuff. Petrie, we're going to have to see about.
Petrie last year.
Keep in mind also, like, it wasn't all starters. It was mostly backups, but there were a few rotational players on the field. Kyle Allen missed a wide open touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, wide open.
Yeah, that was scary.
And that's something that they're going to talk about.
Yeah, that's something that can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot be that wide open ever.
How does he miss the dude?
Yeah, that's classic Kyle Allen for you, man.
Because he played pretty well otherwise.
Yeah, he was all right.
and so this was D'Amico about yesterday. This is after he did watch the film. You just said, you heard him talking about, I want to watch the film. Well, yesterday he had watched the film.
When we play defense, right, we want people to put on our tape and see that we're bringing it. We're going to be a physical unit. We're physical in practice. We're physical in the game. We don't change up our identity. Whenever we step on the field, we're going to be a physical unit. That's what you have to be if you expect to play defense here in Houston.
And I said it coming into the segment. Like, what if they're really, really good? I think they have the elements to get to be that good. I really do. But they don't have the depth that I've seen.
Yeah, and now they really don't have the depth with Christian Harris. You know, kind of came off the field yesterday in practice. And now I'm at a point where I'm like, man, maybe they need to look to sign somebody or maybe trade for somebody. Not nothing crazy, but you're going to need some depth, because if it's no Christian Harris, then you're looking at Toa Toa and, you know, and the
Jamal Hill.
Yeah, the rest of the Pips.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's something they really should look into, because before, you know, it seemed like they were very confident Christian Harris would be out there.
Yeah.
And when I saw him yesterday, I'm like, okay, maybe they was just kind of
ramping him up.
Yeah, ramping him up a little bit, saving him a little bit. But when he came off the field, I'm just kind of like, maybe they do need to sign somebody just in case.
So he had, if you weren't with us earlier, so he had a calf thing, gets out on the field yesterday. They were all pretty much out on the field yesterday. Larry Tunsil. Yeah. Was out on the field offensively, and of course to Joe Mixon, and Christian Harris got out there. This is what gets me, and it's a little bit of a worry, kind of what you're talking about. He didn't finish practice.
Yeah.
Like he walked off with a trainer before practice was even over.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to see Christian Harris until the regular season for a different reason, because I just get the calf ready.
Yeah, at this point, just get healthy.
Yeah.
Like, even if you do have to miss week one, just let's get healthy and get you back out there on the field. But right now, I think they need to rest him and maybe bring somebody else in to kind of, you know, just as a extra body until Christian Harris get better.
Yeah. I think the defense, if you look at what they showed on Friday, and then of course what we've seen so far, like the thing about Danielle Hunter and his sack, you know, have a good rest of the preseason, we'll see you September 8th, is Will Anderson wasn't even on the field.
Yeah.
And so that's where you start going, all right, like if they just get those two dudes going, and we know Danielle Hunter is, you said earlier, like, yeah, he had 16 sacks last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he has that many or more.
Yeah,
you know?
And I was a little bit worried, just kind of in the back of my mind, just kind of like a greedy worry.
Was it a fluke?
Yeah, not even a fluke, but just him being paired up with Will Anderson, that by default, that sack number would go down.
Yeah, because Will Anderson's going
to
get some.
Maybe it'll go from 16 to 12, and, you know, 12 is still a good damn thing.
Yeah.
But just by default, that, you know, Will Anderson will probably get up to 10.
Yeah.
And he will get up to, he would go down to maybe 12, 13, something like that.
Yeah.
But hell, I think he could probably get to 18.
Yeah.
The way he looked, I think it's possible he could get to 18.
He got it by accident. He had another pressure that was almost a sack.
Yeah.
A few plays earlier.
Yeah. And I think if he playing like that throughout the season, I don't think it's a lot of pressure on Will Anderson to try to get up to double digits. I think Will Anderson could
survive. He's just going to get his by default.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but let's say Will Anderson do have, you know, maybe eight and maybe get close to the quarterback, but not quite.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at Will Anderson like, oh, no, that's, you know, he got to step up, because if Danielle Hunter got 16 and he.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
So I was going to ask you, based on all that, what was the best news about this defense? What was the most encouraging thing about this defense on Friday? Because I feel there is a right answer. So I'll start. Like, those interior defensive tackles, we had a worry about them. I don't have any worries about them. Like, Mari Edwards has, like, all of a sudden, Mari Edwards is, like, talked about.
Household name now.
Household name, Rio. And then even Fadakasi.
Yeah.
Fadakasi had a couple of tackles earlier when the starters were on there, and he had three tackles, actually. I'm looking at it now. And a tackle for loss. You had, the interior with Mario Edwards. Like, he was talking, he had half a sack, two tackles for loss. So if you got those two, and that's not even mentioning Danico Autry.
Yeah.
Like, if you have those two guys playing, Danico Autry in the rotation, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, man, your linebacker, and then the cornerbacks are playing.
Yeah.
Your linebackers, by the way, Kamari Lassiter is also still not practicing, but we'll see about that. All of a sudden, your front seven, you might be onto something with this defense.
I think so, man. And that was the big question coming into the offseason. But I knew it was kind of strange when they signed Autry, who played defensive end.
Yeah.
And knowing the other defensive ends they got, you know, the Barnetts and all that, I'm like, man, they moving him inside.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that was something I wanted to watch from the beginning. Like, man, I want to see how this defensive line look.
Yeah.
And I know we won't see Autry until after week six, but man, I think this defensive line is going to look crazy, man. I think they're going to get some pressure, something they didn't get last season.
And pressure up the middle. Like I said, Mari Edwards already had half a sack in a preseason game and just limited snaps. So, yeah, this defensive front and with Al-Shaair, you know, behind him, and then, you know, some guys coming off the edge, it's going to be legit. It could absolutely be legit. Some of the negative things, you know, well, not negative, but some of the things that you got to kind of circle and watch is they did give up some wide open receivers in secondary preseason. You can talk about that all you want. And let's be honest about this game, too. If it wasn't for Kyle Allen missing a wide open guy and Fields botching two snaps, like, they were moving the ball.
Yeah.
They were moving the ball, but he botched two snaps, and then they got the sack. And all, like the first sack was really because of the botch. Not Danielle Hunter's, the other one, but because of the botch snap. But was it Petrie? I think Petrie got in on one. Mm. That was just like, mostly because of that.
That was more Pittsburgh.
That was more a Pittsburgh thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But we're feeling pretty good about the defense. The other thing that we have to watch with these guys, and I think this is where it gets, you know, really, really good. If we can get Kamari Lassiter playing the way we've seen and get him back on the field, I don't think anybody has to worry about anything when it comes to Derek Stingley Jr.
Yeah, think so. I think he looks solid. I think he's in season form. I feel like he's in all pro mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no, like, of course we're going to have questions if he can stay healthy and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had that question all off season, man. Like, I felt like he been legit. So that's something I have no worries about that. And I then grew more confident about the cornerback position, man. With Lassiter, I had no clue I would be this confident in the rookie second round pick.
How about the rookie safety?
Yeah, the rookie safety. And honestly, that's looking like the starter. And he's looking like he'll probably be starting that safety.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Like, because he was like criticized, like, well, at USC, he's a great athlete.
Yeah, and USC didn't have the position, best defense. They didn't have the best defense.
And their defense was the worst.
It was awful.
Their defense was the worst.
So I thought that was going to be somebody that could just step in, you know, and, you know, kind of like a project type of player.
I mean, Kalen Bullock might be the biggest surprise of the whole defense.
I think so. He might be the biggest surprise all offseason.
Maybe,
man.
Mario Edwards. But that's to us.
Yeah, no, and that's to us. But I did not. If you would have told me they drafted Bullock,
yeah,
where he did,
yeah,
and that he was going to be starting the season,
mm-hmm,
I would have been like, you crazy.
Well, D'Amico Ryans would have said you're crazy too.
Kalen is another guy, when you're rookie, similar to Kay, similar to Kamari. Like, these guys have come in and they've been laser focused. Like Kalen, you know, when you watch his tape at USC, he's a guy who attacked the football. Ball was in the air, he was going to get it. Same what you see out here every day in practice. Like, he's making a play on the football. He made a play today, getting the ball out there on one of the receivers, and he made a play in the game this past Friday for him. Just it didn't count, but I think everybody can appreciate, right, the play when your free safety is able to have the elite range that he has and is able to make a play there on the sideline. It's impressive to watch for Kalen, and he'll continue to get better. And that's the exciting thing about Kalen. Like, man, he's still a young player, still has a lot of room to grow. But what he's shown us already and the consistency at which he's done it, like, I'm very excited to see the young man continue to flourish in our defense.
That's the thing I love about D'Amico. He don't care. Like, he knows they're going to make mistakes. Like, everybody knows they're going to make mistakes. But he doesn't care. If he thinks that guy's the best player, he going to put him out there.
Yeah, you know he ain't no rookies don't know anything type of coach.
Oh, God, no. See, talk about the difference.
Yeah.
Now, and rookies, this is just, they don't know anything.
Yeah, man.
Well, they do here.
Yeah, and see, that's what I love about D'Amico Ryans. And I know he ain't throwing them to the fire and saying, mm-hmm, hey, this is CB2 or he's our starter.
No, he put him number two on the depth chart.
Yeah.
To kind of protect him, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, I can respect that. Mm-hmm. But for the simple fact that we are talking about Kalen Butlett as a starter.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that, man. Mm-hmm. And like, you would like, and
never, ever.
Yeah. And yeah, you get that type of talk during the draft when you draft them, and you might have somebody like John Harris, like, hey, he could be competing for a starting. Like, you get, yeah, all of that fluff, you know, during the draft when, yeah, it's happening. But no, we actually talking about potentially two rookies starting on the defense,
yes,
man, which,
yes,
had a pretty good offseason too.
It tells you about Nick Cassara, tells you about D'Amico Ryans when he says, I don't care about your past, I want to see what you do here. He's not lying, because you're also seeing it like at other positions as well. Like, he's got guys coming in that he's kind of erased what they've done in the past, and just they're earning their stripes here. It could be wild, man, because we know what the offense is going to do. We think we know what the offense is going to do, and if the defense plays that level, it's going to be pretty sweet. Hey, let's get to confessions next. Of course, always brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. I kind of got to confess. I have a new favorite NBA player. And it's not for the reasons you think. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Watch this. These are my
confessions. All right, let's give some confessions here. Of course, as always, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey Confessions. I'll start. Watch this. These are my confessions. So how do you feel about Tyrese Halliburton?
I think he's a cool dude, man.
He's a cool dude,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't have no issues with Tyrese.
Did you see his tweet after, after the Olympics?
I did. Dude. I think we all went through that at one point in our school career.
It's the best. He's like my favorite player now. He says he's holding up his gold medal, got this grin on his face, sitting at his locker. And he says, when you ain't done nothing on the group project and you still get an A, like all your other friends did everything, all the work of it, you signed your name on the bottom. Dude played 26 minutes in the Olympics. 26 hey, minutes.
I love it, man.
Look at that lick on his face.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Hey, I love it, man.
I do too.
I think to take that high of a role where you just saying, you know, I don't care.
You got to own it.
That
I always
much.
Say it.
Hey, man, I'm here. I'm in the moment.
Those were 26 very important minutes.
Yeah. And I got a gold medal to prove it.
Yeah.
So, nah, I'm good with that. I like
that.
That
gold medal, baby. Watch this.
These are my So speaking of the Olympics, Jordan Chiles been making the headlines, and I feel so bad for her, man. So if you haven't heard, I think she's about to get stripped of her bronze medal.
Well, they've asked her to give back the medal.
Yeah, so I feel so bad for her, and I got to confess, I think I'm bad with recognizing people in person because I thought I knew exactly who she was. I've been trying to follow the story and all that. So I was at camp yesterday.
Yeah.
And I saw these two girls walking around. As he walked past two girls, I'm like, all right, they look like all right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know they somebody famous. I'm just not sure who.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like maybe they do music or something like that, or TikTok star. So one of them was Jordan Chiles.
Yeah.
She was at practice and I did not know it was her until I got home and I saw the Houston Texans tweet a picture or a video with her and Andre Johnson.
I saw that she was at practice.
Yeah, I did not know that was her.
I don't know why.
In real time, I did not know that was her. She looked all right. She didn't look sad or anything like that. She looked like she was enjoying herself.
Oh, we're going to get into this more when the internet goes nuts, because she didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Like the time, there was something with the clock and somebody was going to appeal.
It sounded like it was a judge's fault.
It was the judge's fault.
Yeah, so I saw her at practice and had no idea that was her, man.
Well, I mean, she got medals, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say
I wouldn't give it back. I would certainly fight it.
Oh yeah, no,
because
she did
nothing wrong.
What do that have to do with me for y'all
she
screwing
did
up?
Nothing wrong. The judges screwed up.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw her in practice, man. Walked past her like Walked past her like three times.
Didn't even say hi, huh?
I know. I kind of brushed her off a little bit, man. Yeah. I kind of like your John. What was the astronaut you brushed off?
Oh, John Glenn.
Yeah, John Glenn. Yeah, that was kind of that's my story right there. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
So you know how you gave me the OG sauce, John?
Yeah.
I want to say, man, first, thank you. Second, that sauce is good, man.
Oh yeah. What'd you put it on?
So Saturday, my girlfriend and I, we went to a farmer's market, and there was a guy selling brisket. I can't even remember the name.
Mm-hmm.
So we saved it, we warmed it up the next day. I ate it brisket, you know, some eggs for breakfast, and I put some of that sauce
Hell
on it.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Man, I tell you what, I loved it. My girlfriend was just like, man, this is so good. She's awesome. I can't wait to try it on more things. So thank you for that. And if you haven't tried it, you got to try it.
How about that?
Because it's so, so good.
You're the man. No, it's gotten rave reviews. That's for dang sure, man. I appreciate that. I'm telling girl, thank you too.
Of course. Watch
this. This is a wild one. I never expected to confess this. I never thought the Guardian caps, you know, the big cushion helmet that they put at practices, would work in games. I didn't think it looked too bad. Did you see Jonathan Taylor wearing it? You did?
Yeah.
How'd you feel about it, Chris? Because they have like this little sleeve they put on top of it.
You see the sleeve? I think the sleeve is what made it look not bad. If it wasn't for the sleeve, I would have been like, okay, well, what's going on there?
Yeah.
But the sleeve made it look decent.
Yeah, I don't know, man. To me, like, it didn't look bad. It didn't look silly, but it just looked like a big-ass helmet. Like, well, somebody just had an oversized helmet.
But
like
you only notice it on the close-ups. Like, if you're at a stadium, you wouldn't have even known that he had it on.
Yeah, just looking at it from the TV, it just looked like this big ass cartoon character with a big old head.
But the sleeve does make it look better.
Yeah, no, it looked better. Like, I'm not a fan of the ones in practice where it just looked like a big old cushion.
Yeah,
cap.
Yeah, and it's got like that kind of waffle.
It
looking,
looked like a swimmer's cap.
It looks like
something.
A waffle head.
Yeah,
it
didn't look too bad, but to me, like from the parts they show, it stuck out to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, him, the big ass helmet, the one.
Get used to it, because I don't know if they're just trying it out, but if it works, why not wear it in a regular season?
I'm all for it. Yeah. I mean, if that leads to less concussions, less, you know, head injuries.
You
I'm
want your players to play.
Exactly.
Yeah. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So I got a new term I'm going to start using for old folks, old football folks.
Yeah.
Old football farts.
Like,
so
who?
So Mike Florio tweeted from Pro Football Talk. He tweeted, playing Cleveland Browns football in the dome would be like cooking a steak in the microwave.
Get out of here.
Like, dog, come on. Like, put a doggone dome on the stadium, man. Like, stop with this whole football weather type thing, man.
I hate that.
We seen football weather get games canceled and moved to playing on a random ass Tuesday.
Yeah.
Stop all this football weather. The Cleveland Browns ain't established enough to be able to play off the lake like that with no dome. Like, this ain't the Pittsburgh Steelers who pretty much been established for a long time. This ain't the Green Bay Packers.
No.
Where, you know, that stadium is so legendary where they wouldn't do anything.
Hell, I think the Packers should play. I think they should all play.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, like, we ain't talking about the Packers and these metal bench bleachers that people still sitting on. We ain't even talking about that, man. We talking about the Browns.
Well, anytime someone says it's football weather, that it's not football weather.
Yeah.
Football weather is 50 degrees, not 50 below or even 30.
Or so much snow that they got to cancel the game.
Yeah, how many times have you been out there in the snow and the sleet and people getting frostbite and you're like, oh, this is football weather. No, football weather is like between 45 and 55, somewhere in there. That's crisp. It's clean, sunny sky.
Yeah. It's playable.
And it's comfortable for the fans.
Yeah, stop with all this football weather and stuff, man, because half the time, like, I think Cleveland need a dome because a lot of players don't want to play in that crap.
Yeah.
So they rather go to Pittsburgh or somewhere else to play if they're going to play somewhere for them.
Absolutely. Like,
I'm not going to Cleveland to play off that lake.
I sure as hell wouldn't play in Buffalo. I sure as hell wouldn't play in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And by the way, it looks like it's going to be a badass stadium.
I know. They need that.
Yeah.
They absolutely need that. So I'm tired of these old football farts talking about football weather.
I'm with you. Speaking of old football farts, let's talk about me for a second. Dude, at first I was like, I saw Tom Cruise standing outside on the top of Stade de France, the Olympic Stadium, with a cable connected to him. And I'm like, first of all, I was like, this is going to be the most Tom Cruise thing ever. Like, Tom Cruise running in movies and Tom Cruise jumping off of crap is everything in his life, in his movie life. And so it happened.
And that was Tom from the top of Stade de France down to the floor of the stadium.
Gosh. That's how you do it. That's how you do it right there.
Well, yeah, it is how you do it. And then I was like, you know, I think Tom Cruise and I are about the same age. Dude, we're 2 months apart.
Damn.
Tom Cruise and I are almost identically the same age. This dude is jumping off of stadiums with a cable tied to him. Talk about making somebody feel inadequate.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. All I need is the invite from Cal and Hannah. I'll
man,
do it.
I would be nervous for you, man. I don't even want you going down the steps two at a time.
I can't remember the last time I did go up or down steps.
How about seeing people that's trying to go up the stairs, they going two or three at a time? Like, get your ass out of here.
I might have been in my 30s when the last time I did that.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I was talking to my wife about that, like some stuff that you wouldn't do at this age that mm-hmm. you would have did back then.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would not do, I would not try to run full speed. Like just full speed, like a full sprint.
Oh, I'd kill myself.
Nah, I would not do. I would tear everything up in my knee. My knee already crunching and cracking every time I bend it. I would not try to do like a 40-yard dash or anything like that.
The most I've ever done is like back in the day, probably 5-6 years ago, we did that 40-yard dash. I jogged one, like just for fun. I was just jogging one.
Do y'all know if they're ever going to do that again?
I don't know. You want in?
I want in.
What's your best event?
Whatever event they want. I'll do 40.
For the Texans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably going to do it again. Yeah. I know the last time, I think it was 2 years ago, our guy George from the Morning Bull, I think he did the 40-yard dash and tore his whole knee up.
Or was it the Achilles?
Achilles. Yeah.
Whoa. Yes.
And see, that's why I'm like, man.
No, I'm smarter than that.
Yeah, I'm only 35. I can't do a full sprint, man. I refuse.
I jogged
to do
that. It just to be. I never broke.
I never broke, tore anything in my life, and hold I want to keep it that way.
What?
I never had a broken bone. Never tore anything. Never had a major injury in my whole life.
So, all right, well, we got to get into this.
We got to get into this.
We're also get into a thumbs up or thumbs down. Thumbs down on Figgy never breaking or tearing anything, first of all. That's the spoiler alert. But let's go through some specifics here on the Texans, because I think it's going to share some stuff, some info for you on just how this team is going to look. Let's do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, you've never broken a bone or torn any ligaments or anything in your entire life?
In my whole life. I was pretty I wasn't on a high school team or anything like that, but outside in these streets, I was very active.
Well, yeah, playing around.
Tackle football, wrestling, jumping off of porches and all that stuff. I never broke anything.
What the heck, man?
Yeah, man, I was a lucky kid, man.
I gotta ask you a couple of questions about that, but I do want to remind everybody that Texans Tickets Tuesday starts tomorrow, as in for this week's game and every week's game. We're gonna have for this week we're gonna have a pair of front row bullpen tickets for you to give away. 7 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m. hours. You're gonna have a chance to win those tickets. This is big time. This is the year too.
So in about 24 hours, in this hour tomorrow, we'll be giving out some bullpen tickets.
Yeah, and it's gonna be pretty straightforward, pretty easy to win. So like you've never, I know you've jammed your fingers.
Yeah.
You haven't even jammed your fingers that much?
No, not really. I never had like a gruesome injury ever. Like not. I mean,
rolled ankle.
Bro, no, not really, no.
What are you Gumby?
I don't know, man. I'm lucky. That's when I am lucky.
I've had some, like I'm not like Mr., you know, I'm not like Jaws showing everybody scars or anything, but just like any other kid, anybody else who played sports. Now, you played sports, didn't you?
I played Muni League, played basketball in middle school. By the time I got to high school, I just gave all that.
You were out. But
I was playing outside like any other kid, doing all type of wild stuff.
Yeah.
But I never like broke an arm or broke a bone or anything like that.
In terms of like sports, I was typical stuff. I chipped this bone on my elbow. That was nasty because I had a cut on it too and got infected. Mm. I tore my MCL, just that MCL ligament. I had my right knee scoped for whatever reason. It was, they called it like a whatever. So I've had like, I broke my foot, but just on the on the right side. But I mean, it wasn't that bad. I ended up, you know, I was back in like 2 weeks. But so like the sports injuries are just natural. Yeah. But like in terms of like the nastiest injury you remember, you were asking me this. Like from Chris, think about this. Like from just either playing outside, you know, whatever sports, like the nastiest injury you remember.
Yeah. So before I get to that, I was actually trying to think of like the worst injury I had, because mm-hmm. I was talking to my guy, shout out to my friend Eric, and he was telling me how he had a friend who had a son who was like 9 years old, and she let him play, and they was, I guess, out skateboarding with some other kids. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she heard a big crash. And she ain't think nothing of it.
Yeah.
And came back. It was her son, the one that was involved in like the skateboard crash.
Yeah.
And he was crying, saying his arm, shoulder was hurting. And she was like, oh, it's okay. You could go
You'll
back
be all
out
right.
there. Yeah. So she sent him on. And I guess about 20, 30 seconds later, he came back still crying. And like, I really don't feel good. So she took him to the emergency room. He had clavicle?
Clavicle? Collarbone?
Yeah. Cracked in half.
Oh.
9 years old, man. And it got me thinking, like, dang, I never had an injury like that.
Yeah.
Where I had to go to the emergency room.
I've had one. It was my knee, but that was the only one.
Yeah. So my only big war story that mm-hmm. I have was I was probably around 9-10 years old, and I was riding the bike. I was somewhere in the neighborhood riding the bike.
Yeah.
And I came down this hill too fast. And I made a sharp left, and my bike wasn't steady, and I was trying to stay afloat, and I just fell down, and my face hit the concrete so hard to the point I chipped my front tooth. So I'm sitting there crying, and all my friends like, you okay? And I'm like, I just want to go home. I was like maybe 5 blocks away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I just want to go home. And one of my homeboys, shout out to my dude Alonzo.
Yeah.
And he was just like, we could go to my friend's house. He stay around the corner. I'm like, no, I want to go home. So I had to go to the dentist and had to put my tooth back together. But that was probably the worst injury I ever had.
This is the one that I remember. Chris, think about it. The one you remember most vividly. Like I said, I've had some stuff, like everybody, most everybody. Some people are on the text board are saying, yeah, me too, Figgy. I've never really had. But anyway, most people have injuries. So, of course, it has to do with my two big brothers. Of course. I've got two big brothers. So we were in the backyard, and we had this little shed that had an 8-foot roof on it. So pretty high, but not ridiculously high.
Yeah.
And they dared me to jump off the roof. They dared me to jump off the roof.
Oh, Johnny would do it.
Yeah, I was like 9 or 10 years old. And then, so we're up there. I don't know what we were doing up there. I guess they were trying to coax me into jumping off the roof. And my big brother said, I'll do it if you do it. Of course, I'm an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So you got to go first.
You go first. So I jumped off the roof. And I landed on this board that had a nail sticking up.
Oh, my God.
And it went into my heel.
Oh, God.
I landed clean on the board, went into my heel, and I'm screaming. And my brothers take off running, of course.
God.
And I walk into the house, man. And I'm like, Mom! She goes, what is it? And I like swing my leg into, and the board is stuck on my
Oh, goodness.
The nail went all the way into my heel, and I'm screaming, and it really wasn't bleeding that much.
Dang.
And she's like, oh my God. And she like pulls the board out with the nail coming out.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I got some tetanus shots and a couple of stitches on that one.
Oh goodness gracious.
That was one where like, even my brothers were like, holy crap, we've got to move now.
Man.
We just broke our little brother.
Yeah, man. I mean, did they get in trouble?
Oh, God, yes. I walked into the house clicking and clacking with a board on my foot.
Goodness gracious.
Mine happened freshman year of high school. I was at the field house. We were doing weight training. And I'm a freshman, so I'm skinny, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we're doing lunges. And they're like, all right, everybody grab a 25-pound plate.
Oh, God.
And raise it over your head, and you do lunges. Well, there was no more 25-pound plates. I was stuck with a 45-pound plate.
Oh, God.
So I go and I do one lunge with my left foot, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. Then I do it with my right foot, and my kneecap just dislocates completely.
Man. That is painful.
That's painful.
One of the most painful injuries.
And I kid you not, just complete, just my knees, like, my kneecap's like this, and it's just all the way to the right side. And everybody's just like, get up. You know, you're good. I'm just like, dude, I'm not good. Like, I'm sitting there, tears coming out of my face, and I'm just crying like, yo, my kneecap. This is freshman year of high school. You know, it's just like, man, I was so excited for football season, blah, blah, blah. No. Bam. And I ended up, I didn't get no surgery. They just popped it right back in and just wait till my knee like was like not swollen anymore, and I was good.
And you actually played?
I didn't play. I went through physical therapy. I ended up getting back, and I did play, but no surgery, no nothing. Another one was I was playing basketball just regular, like, outside with, like, my friends, and I landed on my knee, and my whole, like, basically my foot was, like, this, and my knee was just all on the side.
Oh, you've had some bad ones.
Yeah, yeah, and it was swollen. It was bigger than, it was, like, the size of a softball, basically, my ankle. So, yeah.
Oh, man. I feel sorry for y'all, man.
The crazy thing about the one when I landed on, I mean, I landed on, it was like it hammered into my foot. Like, I landed on it flush. It was about a half inch showing. So it wasn't like breaking the bone or anything, but it did. So anyway, like, I landed on it and I went, you know, yelled, you know, whatever. My brothers were already running in different directions down the street.
Like, they were gone.
They were gone.
They knew what was coming up next.
They were.
Yeah, this sounds like some Leave It to Beaver type situation, man.
But of all things, you jump off a shed.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, it might sting my feet a little bit or whatever. I'll do it. They might even said, hey, I'll buy you a coat, whatever, you know. And I land on a freaking, it was a 1x6 that had a, it was all old, you know, from the shed. It fell off the shed. Right on the nail on the board. It was ridiculous.
That was rough, man. Ooh.
All right. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs down to my brothers for that. 713-572-4610. Let's go do a couple little thumbs up or thumbs down here. Rapid fire fashion for the Houston Texans from Friday night, because at 1 o'clock we're going to go around the NFL at 1:20, internet going nuts. And at 1:40, are we ready to make some cuts if we had to? Today. All right, so thumbs up or thumbs down, tight ends.
Thumbs up, man. I think they in good shape, man. That was the question coming in. You got Schultz and who else? We wasn't sure about Brevin Jordan, but I think Kay Stover, even if he's number 2 or 3, I think you in good shape.
Not only is it a thumbs up for me and obviously from Chris as well, I think they already have the working depth chart. I think Stover has done that much. Defensive tackles.
Thumbs up.
Big time. Big time.
Nah, they look good.
Probably,
man,
the best development of the preseason.
Yeah, especially compared to last year.
Yeah.
They look good.
Fadakasi, Mario Edwards just kicking butt. Danico Autry isn't even playing yet. Yeah, absolutely. Kenyon Green.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, Kenyon Green.
Yeah, nah, he looked like a decent offensive lineman, decent guard, good guard.
It's amazing what happens when you commit to the profession.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done.
He's taking it serious.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't one of those things where you could just walk in and just do what you've been doing in college.
This ain't play money. This is real money.
These some grown men.
This is guys
here
that pay mortgages.
And it shows. I mean, it's just like, yo, like, I can be out of here by next year, man. I need to pick it up.
Yeah.
It's just how, as I got injured, I'm easily replaceable, man.
Yeah, he's learned that. I'm sure they've had some heart-to-heart discussions with him, and maybe some very, you know, straightforward ones.
Yep.
All right, tackling.
Tackling, see, you know, I kind of gave it a thumbs up a little bit, but I gave the excuse this is preseason.
Yeah.
So, they, you know, I ain't going to take too much into it.
I'm going to go with thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
And especially, I mean, you mentioned this, John. Last year, this was a concern. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's still, I would say it's still a little concerning that missed tackles, you know, look, if that makes sense, if I'm not even making sense.
No, I think what happens is a lot of times they have these missed tackles and D'Amico and the defensive coaching staff are kind of glad. Like, they want to make sure they have something that they can sink their teeth in, you know, into defensively, because the defense looks so good. But now they're like, okay, now we can focus on this and kind of coach them up from there, you know? And the other thing, that, like, Danielle Hunter, I mean, let's just not even be dramatic about it. That was I'm to the point with Danielle Hunter. See you September 8th.
Yep. You getting what you paid for, man. Yeah. This is something you expected. You see how he did last year, and this year he will probably do the same.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. Last one here, and we will dig into this at 140. Damian Pierce.
I'm going to have to go thumbs down, I was really disappointed.
Thumbs down for now.
We were talking about this. He may be playing for a spot on this team, much less a spot on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's go around the NFL. There's lots that went on this weekend. Jameis Winston is in midseason form. The Caleb Williams era has begun. Michael Penix Jr. is making stuff interesting. And Jerry Jones, of course. I think the right way to put this is too late, bro. It's about the contract. We'll talk about that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.